is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa and Sean Johnson. And our special guest for this week, baseball prospect Jimmy Mulvaney. And if you listened to the last hour, we interviewed him, talked about his career in baseball so far. In this segment, we're kind of just going to, keep it light and simple, just talk about the stuff that's going on in the sports world today. And it's kind of a perfect time that he is on the show this week, as he is a big Red Sox fan. And the Red Sox did make some pretty big news this week in the rehiring of their former manager, Alex Cora. Obviously, he was a part of the 2017 Houston Astros, the clowns that they are. They won the World Series. However, it did come with some backlash, as they did get hit hard with the cheating scandal. He would then go on to manage the Red Sox in 2018, bring them a World Series championship. And then after that, he was soon let go due to his involvement with the Houston Astros. But it was a one-year suspension. The moment the suspension was up, which was this past week, they contacted him and re-signed him again. So, Jimmy, I'll start with you. He's back in the fold. The Red Sox obviously didn't have the greatest, 60-game season. So what are your thoughts on the move, and do you think he can right the ship after this horrific season that you guys did have?
Well, I mean, I think he's definitely proved he's got what it takes to take a team to the World Series. He did in the past, but Red Sox not looking good. I mean, I'm hoping for a somewhat good offseason and hoping guys get healthy. Eduardo Rodriguez coming back, he missed the year. Chris Sale, hopefully he's back in full swing. Just build up that pitching staff. I think the lineup is there. Like, Bogarts, Benintendi, I'd like to see a big year from him. He's not been disappointing, but he's not been what he can be. Bogarts obviously playing well. I love Devers, huge fan of him. Hoping they keep Jackie Bradley around. They got Verdugo in replace of Mookie, which is obviously a downgrade, but he's a great player. And, I think it just comes down to their pitching staff. Like, the bullpen, they traded Hembry and whoever it was to the Phillies. So the bullpen's weak, and the starting rotation's there. We just need that third or fourth starter to build up a solid rotation, hopefully a good bullpen, and then let Cora do his thing, because he's definitely proved he's got what it takes.
Yeah, so I know we talked about this, off the air. Obviously, when this went down, I called you, and you kind of were like, you expected this.
I actually called this from the second that he was let go. Mm-hmm. I said that once his suspension's done, he's going to be our manager again.
And so your word proven true. And are you in the same boat as Jimmy that he is going to right the ship? And
I'll tell you what, he's definitely going to make our team better than it was last year. Because pretty much when we brought him on, we were kind of looking for him to take that role. Come in, help our team improve a little bit, because when he came in, that was when we were, struggling to get past the ALDS. We had faced the Indians, we had faced the Astros in back-to-back years, and we just couldn't do anything. We were getting shut out in both both of those series. So yeah. We bring him in, can he get us past there? Mookie has a great season, offensively we had an amazing season. You also can't forget that we have Chris Sale. Because a lot of people forget.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people
forget
that.
He missed all last season. We saw who was it that had a pretty good season last year? Was that that wasn't Eovaldi, was it?
He missed okay.
Or was it Rodriguez?
It was Eduardo Rodriguez had a great year, right, but he was out this year with the COVID, and then he had that heart problem, I think it was. So they just shut him down. I mean, no point in risking his injury. Obviously, they weren't going anywhere this year.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I didn't watch a lot this season for obvious reasons, but I'm blanking on who had a breakout season for us this year.
I mean, Verdugo was one of the guys who...
Pitching-wise, though.
Oh, pitching-wise?
Yeah, one of our starters kind of, like, you know, proved himself where he can maybe move into our rotation, you know, permanently next year.
I mean, I know they were experimenting with young guys. I don't know who exactly, but they definitely have some young prospects coming up.
Yeah, this is going to bother me. I'll have to look it up during the break.
I know who you're talking about. Same as you. I can't think of exactly.
Yeah, but, yeah, so... You know, we got Rodriguez coming back. We got Sale coming back. I think our team's going to be much better than last season. But now we also got to worry about, you know, Tampa Bay looked really good this season. Yeah. They almost won the World Series.
That's a competitive division now. That went from, like, Red Sox, Yankees, top-heavy division, and, like, the Rays and Orioles, like, weren't even a factor. But now, like, even the Blue Jays, the young team, like... Guerrero, Biggio, like, they're going to be good.
They were a playoff team this season.
No, yeah.
The Orioles were almost a playoff team.
That's a competitive division. Yeah. Obviously, the Rays and the Yankees are going to be a powerhouse no matter what. I don't know how they lost this year, but, I mean, the Red Sox, they're going to be better than last year, but it's going to be tough. Like, that's not going to be an easy win division where it's going to be 100 wins, you know, first place playoffs. Like, the Yankees obviously are loaded. Like, that's going to be a tough team to get by. And then even getting by them, you still got the other teams in the division who look solid this year.
Yeah. Now, Don, what are your thoughts on the Alex Cora move? Like, what were your initial reactions when you first heard that?
Look, I was actually pretty shocked. I was not even thinking of it. I totally forgot, you know, he had that one-year suspension, basically. I forgot all about him, actually. And with Boston struggling, you kind of just thought over with Betts and how he really did and anything like that. Now, I think Cora, let's put everything aside with the whole Houston asterisk thing, but I think Cora was one of the better managers for Boston over the past several years. And with that, I think they'll be better, but I still think they do need help pitching. I like Sale, but he has been injury prone. He's been hittable at times. Eduardo Rodriguez, he's actually been showing dominance. Sean and Jimmy really called it and nailed it right on the head. I think they're pretty decent, but they have to get arms, whether it's in the starting rotation or even the relievers and the closers. Mm-hmm. So I like the move. I think offensively they're still pretty scary. JD Martinez has to have a bounce back season, but obviously we have talked about with no technology and stuff, JD can't really view his swing and what he does every at bat. But pitching, I think, is the key. Besides Alex Cora, for this team to get back on track in the contention mode in that division.
No, yeah, and Jamie, I do want to ask you this. You know, we've talked about JD Martinez and how he struggled mightily this season, and a lot of it has to do with him coming out and saying how, you know, the scandal really did affect his career in terms of how he used the video technology to his advantage, but didn't use it in the way the Astros did in terms of doing it in game. He would do it in game, but not live in game. Like, he would go back in the room and look at video in, like, while he wasn't batting and figure, okay, this is what I was doing wrong, or this is what he's pitching. It wasn't happening in his at bats itself. So, you know, how do you feel about him not having that ability, and therefore it's showing in, you know, on the field? Because he did not look like the JD Martinez we've been seeing the past 3 years.
No, I definitely agree. Like, disappointing year from him, absolutely. But I think, like JD, as you said, the technology advancing, and I don't think it's as much as finding out pitches. It's just seeing how guys pitch. Like, from what I know, like, knowing just what the guy, like, what this specific pitcher, what his go-to pitch is, what he's most likely to give you first pitch. And I think they still use that technology. Like, you saw in the playoffs, they had all those players in there, like, looking at tablets, finding out, like, who's pitching. And, you know, I think JD, his biggest problem this year was just staying in his own strike zone. Like, there were a lot of at-bats where first pitch, curveball in the dirt, he's taking a defensive swing. Like, he needs to get back to the aggressive JD Martinez he was, but within himself, where he's not chasing pitches, you know, taking defensive swings ahead in the count. Like, he needs to... He's definitely capable of getting back to where he was, and this year wasn't a typical JD Martinez year, but if he can have a big year next year, that'd be key for the Red Sox, have that big bat back in there.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously when Mookie was there, he was kind of, it helped him because he had the protection and, you know, pitches came to him more easily, and, you know, now with him not there, you know, that hurts him for sure, but obviously, you know, this does it well. But yeah, I just wanted to get your take because I know, because we talked about that before Obviously, Sean's mentioned it. You know, we got his perspective on how, you know, how we thought of it. But you are right about the division. I mean, look, the AL East is going to be the best division in baseball, without a doubt. You know, the Orioles are definitely up and coming. The Blue Jays are, they're right there. You know, I think this is the year where they're going to turn the corner. I think it's going to be the definite breakout year for them. And obviously Dom, San Diego Padres, as Dom, I know you called it, or you and your dad called it, that 2021 was going to be the year, the moment that you guys signed Manny Machado, back in 2018. I think that was 2019, right? It was the winter.
It happened. Remember that? It was when we were sophomores.
Yeah. But it happened like in our spring semester, but like it was like January, February.
Sunday, it was actually kind of nice out. I got out of the shower. I got a bunch of phone calls. It felt like I was like an agent. I was like, wow, look at this. Then he actually has a great year this year. He wins the Silver Slugger. Juan Soto got robbed, but that's okay. I love you, Soto, still. But hey, him and Tatis got Silver Sluggers, so can't complain.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, Soto did get robbed, but look, I mean, I think Soto's going to win at least 2 MVPs in his lifetime. He could possibly win 3. Because we talked about this. He missed a good amount of the games due to COVID and still put up unreal numbers. The moment that he came back, like, he caught up, and he caught up in a big way. So it's only the beginning for him, and he's only 22. He's going to be 23, I think, going into the 2021 season. So it'll be interesting to see. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Dodgers, you know, rise in COVID-19 cases and how, you know, Justin Turner's possibly at fault for this, because the LA County did come out and say that 9 additional Dodgers players have tested positive for COVID-19. Since Justin Turner obviously made news of, you know, testing positive during game 6 of the World Series and obviously coming back on the field and being around his teammates while he had the virus. So all that and more is coming up only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and our special guest for this week, baseball prospect, Jimmy Mulvaney. So in the last segment, we talked about the Red Sox and kind of where they're at going into next season with their managerial hires and some of the players that they have coming up. And Sean, you actually found out the pitcher that you guys were trying to figure out for so long.
Yeah, that was Martin Perez. That just shows you how little I watched this year.
Yeah, or how unknown he was this season.
Yeah, really. But, I mean, he could fit into our rotation pretty well.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah, I mean, look, it's wide open, you know, going into spring training. But, obviously, you know, more news came out about Justin Turner and his role – his positive COVID test. Obviously, game 6 of the World Series, he got pulled in the 7th inning. It was revealed he tested positive. Dodgers would go on to win that game in the World Series. He would not listen to MLB or team protocols, and he would go onto the field and celebrate with his teammates. We did talk about this last week and how we had some different opinions. I did not agree with it. Noah was kind of indifferent. He did understood why he went out, but then understood that, you know, he should have taken better precautions, and so should have Major League Baseball. And now they're reaping the consequences. The LA County just released a 9 positive test from the Dodgers have surfaced, you know, since this happened. And, you know, Jimmy, you know, you said to us during the break that you saw or you listened to a Max Muncy interview, and I guess he talked about kind of that whole situation as he was in the forefront of it all.
Yeah, so like his opinion on it was he doesn't agree with people blaming Justin Turner and putting that on him, and how I know he mentioned the MLB, like, so to say, bubble they were in, like how people were breaking the rules, and it wasn't like it was players and coaches. Like, he talked about how there were reporters and stuff leaving the bubble and coming back in, and how Justin Turner paid the price of that, and how he was saying if anyone should be blamed for this, it should be the MLB. But if you're going to blame someone on the Dodgers, it shouldn't be Turner, because he said, you know, Turner was sitting, like, in whatever, like, place they had him, you know, to keep him away from people. And they were all like, come on, you got to come out on the field. And he was like, I don't think it's a good idea, and how they almost, like, forced him out there. But, you know, I think, like, putting it on Justin Turner, yeah, obviously he shouldn't have done that. It was in the moment, bad decision. But I think it could be put more, like, as much as it could be on the MLB for the fact that that bubble was broken and he got COVID, I think just it's not, it was just not safe. Like, how bad you want to go out there and celebrate, like, there's no point in putting other people at risk by going out there, especially when you know you test positive, have the virus, and now, as you said, there's 9 other positive cases. Like, I think that's as much on the MLB as it is on him, but just not a great situation for them.
So you're saying that basically Max Muncy came out and said that Justin Turner didn't even break the protocol or the bubble. It was the reporters that did, and therefore he's saying he likely got it from them.
Yeah, so it's I know he talked about how there were reporters out on, like, some golf course, and then they came back, and that's, like, the only way that would make sense for him to have got the disease, but or the COVID, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, I think what his main point was, don't put this on Justin Turner. This is the MLB's fault, which I'm not sure if I agree with that. You know, I think he should be taking the proper precautions and, like, obviously trying to stay safe and following the rules, but... You know, just not a great look for the MLB and the Dodgers, especially Justin Turner.
Yeah, I think that, you know, after listening to that, I think obviously there's a lot of blame to be said for Major League Baseball. I think that they shouldn't have had reporters, really, because they didn't really need to be there, obviously, you know, during this, you know, unfamiliar season that every sport's having. A lot of reporters aren't there. They're doing Zoom calls, and, you know, it's all being done virtually. Like, they don't, like the only people that really need to be there in terms of media personnel are really the announcers who are calling the games. You know, reporters can do their stuff virtually. They could do Zoom calls, and, you know, it could be done like that. So,
I also heard that, like, not only were there, like, reporters going in and out of these hotels and stuff, there were also just, like, regular people in there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, along with the MLB players, there were just, you know, hotel goers or, you know, people that are, like, not had any affiliation with the MLB.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could, so, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I shouldn't, and the world shouldn't put so much money on Justin Turner, because, you know, it's, you know, based on what we know now, you know, it possibly was out of his control.
No, I think it was definitely out of his control of how he contracted the disease. That's not on him. Because Max Muncy and all the Dodgers said he was the most careful out of anyone, you know, followed all the rules, took proper precautions. But I think where Justin Turner is at fault is how he acted after he was aware that he tested positive. And I think it's as much in the MLB, like, they're getting results on a COVID test in the 7th inning. Like, I'm not really sure how that works or when they test, but you'd think...
They would know before the game.
Yeah, you think at that point it's almost too late anyway. Like, I'm not sure. I think they're both at fault, both Justin Turner and the Dodgers and the MLB in both ways. Just not as I said, like, not a good look for them.
Yeah, no, I know. I that is right. I remember people were saying, we're like, you know, if this came out in the 7th inning and not the 1st inning, everyone's expecting, like, okay, could there have been more cases? Are they hiding them? Like, mm-hmm. Now there's this, there's that big what if was, were there more positive cases? So, you know, and if that comes and that comes to fruition, then the Dodgers are in a big heap of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Especially if they lose that Game 6, then we're looking at a Game 7 where you almost definitely have to wait a couple of days. I know we talked about this before, where if the Rays end up winning that Game 6 and they have to play a Game 7 of those positive tests, either all those guys have to sit out, which I doubt they do. They'd probably wait a week or however long, and then you're looking at a Game 7 with every arm on the roster healthy. You know, I'm not sure if that would have been best case scenario. Obviously not with all the positive tests, but that would have been fun to watch, having those two teams go at it with all their arms fresh and everyone ready to go. That would have been a great Game 7, but obviously didn't work out for the Dodgers got the win, but not a best case scenario for them with all these positive tests, breaking the precautions or whatever happened.
No, yeah. I mean, but that would have been a dope Game 7, you know, kind of, you know, who knows? Blake Snell could have got the start. He could have redeemed himself, or Kevin Cash could have redeemed himself and let Snell go deeper in the game if he were to have the same the same outcome, but obviously we'll never know. But yeah, it's just a very ugly and messy situation that the league is in right now. You know, Sean and Don, do you have anything to add to that before we move on?
Yeah, it's just, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, like breaking news, like put yourself in Turner's shoes. I get it. You really, after being with the team for so long, one of the longest tenured Dodgers, you want to go out there and play, but at the same time, looking back on it, you're going to question if they knew about this and other cases during the whole series itself, because if you get tested before the first inning and you're getting taken out around the seventh, there's something fishy going on right there. I don't know. I think with the Dodgers getting a lot of trouble, yeah, it can be unfair because you can look at it at Turner's viewpoint, but at the same time, you have to understand you're lucky enough that there was a 60-game season to begin with as a player, and the fact that you have to follow protocols. And I get it. Turner, he followed protocols, but at the same time, you never know. You get test positive. You just don't know the one thing you do. This virus just can get inside your body. So as great as you are trying to not get the virus, one time you get it, you got to understand you have a limit, especially then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. But and moving on from that, because I feel like we kind of milked the situation, so I think that's kind of all the news we can kind of talk in terms of the Dodgers and that COVID case. If there's any more, you know, news to break within that, we'll obviously report on it and, you know, talk about it on the show. But, you know, to quickly end this segment, you know, the NBA just announced that, you know, the league is going to start up on December 22nd. There were rumors that it was going to start up either on that day, Christmas Day, or an MLK Day. I know a lot of the players were really hoping it would happen on Martin Luther King Day, obviously, because obviously, again, it's a big holiday in the country and also in basketball itself. And also because it gives some of the players more time to rest and recover from the bubble, not only physically, but also mentally, because obviously they were in there. A couple of the teams were there for a couple months, you know, were very secluded, couldn't see their family and all that stuff. But I am, you know, for it. I think that, look, you know, December 22nd, I feel like it makes sense. I feel like it can put the NBA back on track to, you know, getting them back to their normal schedule of starting in December, 72-game season. And by then, you know, it would end in June and we'd be back in that normal schedule where it would start in October and go into the end of June. I know LeBron wasn't too happy about it. He tweeted something out of him like face planning, or it was like a meme of him face planning because he doesn't have time to recover and rest. But I think it helps him. You know, look, he's going to be 36. You know, his body is going to, obviously, he's a freak of nature. There's no question about it. He's a freak of nature. But, you know, I feel like to not have that much downtime could kind of still, knowing like, okay, I still got to keep myself in shape, could maybe help him. But I could be wrong. What do you guys think about that?
You know, I think definitely, with especially in LeBron's case, like still going that strong, like I would argue he's still even in his prime. Like, obviously he's been better, but I think he's coming to the end of his prime, and I think he's got a couple of years left. But I think the resting is obviously good, but the longer he rests, the older he's getting, more fatigue. Like, I think it's good for him, because the longer he's playing, that's more time where his body is, obviously he needs time to recover, but like you said, he's just a freak of nature. And I think with the NBA, anything they can do, like, it's going to be interesting to see with all sports how they get back to normal eventually, like with the schedules, the MLB obviously ending later, but still like pretty much on time. Mm-hmm. So they're in line for a scheduled start, assuming COVID allows them. But it's going to be interesting to see how all the seasons play out and how they get back to normal eventually.
Yeah. Sean, what are your thoughts on this December 22nd start?
I do know that a lot of the players were, you know, upset about that, as you mentioned. But in LeBron's case, how you guys were saying, like, you know, it's kind of a better thing for him, like, you know, to stay fresh. I kind of disagree, because, yeah, like, you know, he can stay fresh in other ways. Like, you know, he can do some conditioning during the off season, which is obviously not the same situation as, you know, playing in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, on top of that, like, the man needs as much rest as he can get. Like, he's probably one of the most overworked guys in the league, you know, So I think it is, it's a good and a bad thing for him.
What about you, Dom?
Yeah, this one I actually had a rant with on my own show. Now, I did hear that if the NBA started around Martin Luther King Day or anything later than like this December 22nd date, they were going to lose so much money after already losing a lot of money, even going into the summer bubble. With this, I'm hearing 72 games. So you got 10 games less than a regular season. I know they didn't play at all in the previous year, but you got to think about it, right? Players are not happy, such as LeBron. I don't think Lillard's that happy about this right now. So take any superstar that's not happy with this, for example, right? Let's say they decide to sit out for a couple games until MLK Day. Maybe that's when they want to play or whenever they just feel like they're in shape and their body's ready, especially LeBron. Yeah, I agree that he's still in his prime 100%. He's coming near the end of it, but he is older. He's going to need that time to get back into the swing of things. And there's no problem with that. It's LeBron. He's played how many times? He's got so much miles on his legs. But if these superstars do sit out for a couple of games, maybe into mid-January, you got to come to think. Every game does matter in a sense with 72 games, especially for those teams that are contending, such as the Lakers. Now, I feel like that if this does happen, you might expect to see some teams that didn't make the playoffs to creep their way there, because think about how much time they had off compared to the teams that were in the summer bubble. So I am for it. The NBA, it's a business. They got to make money. They got to make it fast. They want to try and get in there, especially if there's no fans. So they got to make revenue. But I'm all for it. It's just a question of whether the players sit out or not and how that results into the 72-game season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an issue probably as we get closer to the season, because obviously free agency is going to happen and it's going to be a quick free agency. And that's probably what we'll get into next, is kind of what's going to happen with that and the NBA draft and the combine and stuff. That'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But yeah, everything is going to be very time crunched and, you know, rushed to get everything ready for, you know, December 22nd. So yeah, we could see some stars sitting out. Obviously, you know, the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irvings of the world, who are obviously on my Brooklyn Nets, they're not going to sit out because, you know, they missed a good chunk of the season, or in Kevin Durant's case, he missed the entire season. So there's no reason for him to not want to start on December 22nd. But yeah, I could see LeBron sitting out. I could see Lillard sitting out. But I think, honestly, you know, if LeBron does sit out, you know, I don't think it's going to ruin his chances to win another championship, but I think that in his case, you want to get out to the best start that you possibly can, because the last thing that he needs is to play catch up late in the season and overwork himself when he's probably going to be on another playoff run playing over 30 plus minutes a game every game. So, you know, I just think that he needs to, you know, maybe, you know, think about it some more, and, you know, hopefully he, you know, he could figure it all out. But, you know, he's got some time. But yeah. But when we come back, you know, we could talk about, you know, kind of the NBA free agency, where that stands, and also kind of the, you know, kind of the NBA draft as well, and, you know, where that stands. Obviously, Sean, you're a New York Knicks fan, so, you know, we could talk about that a little bit, and kind of, you know, are your thoughts still the same on who you want to be your kind of the next, you know, Knicks star? Because I know we talked about this before. And I want to get your thoughts on if your thoughts have changed. So all that coming up only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa and Sean Johnson, and our special guest, baseball prospect, Jimmy Mulvaney. So in the last two segments, we talked about, you know, Major League Baseball and the NBA, and we're kind of going to combine the two in this segment and talk about, you know, both the drafts for each league, as both of them are kind of, you know, they're coming up, and they're coming up fast. You know, I think we'll start with, you know, Major League Baseball. You know, that draft order was set like a couple weeks ago. The Red Sox have a top five pick in the draft, and there are two pitching prospects that are on the table, you know, Jack Leiter and was it Vanderbilt?
Yeah, they're both Vanderbilt kids. Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, look, you guys need pitching. You know, there's no question about it. Obviously, in baseball, it's different because obviously in every other sport, the prospects could get up to the big leagues right away. In baseball, it's, you know, not like that. So, you know, either one you take, he's not going to be up there right away. But if you had your choice between those two, who would you want?
I mean, watching, I don't know about Sean, but obviously fine with either one. Like, two complete studs, but... Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son, I know I've seen him. I've watched him pitch throughout high school. He's a New Jersey kid, and he's just dominant. And Kumar Rocker, like, he's obviously gained lots of publicity, throwing that no-hitter in the College World Series and just, like, being dominant throughout his whole college career. So, I mean, either of them would be fine. And, like you said, they're not going to be up there right away. It's quite the process, but... Like, as far as the future, I would take either of them. Like, Kumar Rocker, great, great, great choice. Throws hard, dominant. Jack Leiter's the same way. Mid to upper 90s, had one of the lowest ERAs I've seen for a college player throughout his freshman year. But and he'll be eligible for the draft now because of his age. But I'm curious to see how that plays out. And I'd be fine with either one if one of them falls to the Red Sox.
Now, are they both right-handers? Is one or is Jack a lefty like his father was? Or?
I'm pretty sure Jack's a lefty. Actually, I could be wrong. He might be a righty. But they're both hard-throwing velocity guys. So, I mean, either one of them I'd be fine with.
What about you, Sean? You in the same boat?
Yeah, I got to say, I don't have a preference either. As you guys know, we desperately need pitching with the Red Sox, so any help that we can get. I think Kumar is going to go first because, I mean, like you said, that no-hitter that he had in the World Series, College World Series, and, like, he's just dominant. I think he does have the edge on, what's his name, Leiter. But, yeah, so I guess if we get lucky, Leiter would have to fall to us. But I guess I'd take Kumar if I had to take a pick.
No, yeah, I think I've drawn a blank before. They're both righties. They're both hard-throwing righties. But, you know, like Sean said, like Kumar Rocker, obviously more experience, has proved he definitely has what it takes. And I think Jack Leiter is on his way to proving that. Obviously a rare case with him where he's eligible for the draft this year after only throwing one year of college baseball because of his age. But... You know, either of them would be fine. Kumar Rocker obviously is a great, shown that he has what it takes to dominate at any level of baseball. Then I'd be fine with either one, if hoping one of them falls to us.
How old is Leiter?
Leiter just finished his freshman year, but I think the age is like 19 or 20 where you have to be eligible for the draft. And I know his age meets that limit where he only has pitched 1 year of college baseball, but he's eligible for the draft now.
Interesting. Oh, well, you know, good for him. So yeah, we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting. I know, you know, my Yankees were a non-factor in this draft. I mean, we have another low pick once again. You know, I'll see who we get. Last year, we picked up a catcher, Austin Wells. It's probably going to be Gary Sanchez's replacement because Gary Sanchez is such a dud, it's not even funny anymore.
Higa Yoshua or whatever.
Sorry.
What, he got Yoga? He got Yoga's probably going to take his spot, but Austin Wells might be the future.
Hey,
you
don't know if you guys signed JT Realmuto.
We are not signed. I do not want JT Realmuto.
I wouldn't either, but you don't know.
I don't want him because that's more money we gotta throw his way, and that means less money for DJ than Mayhew, and then that means also less money for Aaron Judge when hits the open market. So I don't want that. We're fine. Stay in house. They don't need to go crazy. If they do that, we gotta fire Brian Cashman.
No, yeah, I think the Yankees have all the weapons they need. They just need to put it together. Like, they've got a stacked lineup. They've got probably the best rotation there is. Tanaka, Cole. Like,
well, Tanaka's a free agent.
That's true. Tanaka's a free agent.
And Paxton's a free agent.
But I mean, Garrett Cole is the best arm in baseball. But that leaves a big question mark there. But they have the weapons they need. They just need, like, I thought last year was their year. You know. Like, that's rough that they went out like that for them. Obviously, I'm happy about it. I don't like the Yankees. But, I mean, that was a brutal year for them, making it that far and coming up short. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before the Yankees put it together and go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they need to do. I know the bullpen's also in question. That was always our strong suit. But I think that just goes back to how Girardi managed the bullpen. I think Boone does a terrible job of managing our bullpen, and it shows because he's exploiting it, and he's exploiting it badly. But yeah, I think they just need to – I don't know what they need to do. Obviously, starting pitching is a question for us. Obviously, Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino are going to be the 1-2 punch. It's just a matter of filling the rest out, whether it be Jordan Montgomery, Debbie Garcia. They bring up Clark Schmidt to see what he can do. Or if they re-sign Tanaka. I think they re-sign Tanaka over Paxton, just because of the fact that Paxton's agent is Scott Boras, and he's going to want a lot of money because Scott Boras commands a lot of money as an agent. So I just wouldn't want him back just for that reason alone. And also the fact that Paxton's pretty inconsistent as well. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I've said this before many times on the show, me and Noah, you know, we're frustrated, and we just want to just have at least, we just want to witness kind of a World Series, because obviously 09, yes, we kind of witnessed it, but that was kind of when we were still kind of like young at that point. Like, it wasn't like in 2013 when we were like teenagers for you guys, so you guys see it. And obviously 2 years ago, because that's a vivid memory. So, I just always have to look back in the past and see it. So just once, I just want to celebrate one, and I can be happy.
Yeah, but, I want to celebrate my first one ever.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll happen for you, Dom, for sure.
It will. They're building right. They're making the right pieces. I mean, it all just depends if Eric Hosmer knows how to play defense like he did in Kansas City, but, you know, that's all right.
Yeah, for real. I mean, yeah, ever since he got that contract, he's kind of been a different player.
He's been all right. He had a better season this year.
Yeah. And
his first season, like Machado's, was very disappointing. So,
oh, yeah.
That goes for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then moving on to, obviously, you know, the NBA. Obviously, the NBA draft, you know, with the season kind of in line to start in December, that means the draft is coming up soon. We already know the order of the draft. The 1-2 picks, Golden State and Minnesota. However, the Knicks, Sean's team, they're 8th. We obviously talked about this, how Sean was pretty upset about that. But Sean, obviously, I don't even remember what you said. What did you want the Knicks to do in the draft?
I don't even know, to be honest. Like this is a very top-heavy class.
So yeah, like it is.
A lot of the, you know, talents, so like 1, 2, 3, and that's it. So, like, I don't even think I would even know if you told me who the 8th projected guy is. I don't even know.
Oh, I cannot tell you.
Yeah, like even if you told me what his name was,
Yeah, I'd be like, who?
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
So I've heard a lot of speculation that they're going to trade up, and I do not want them to do that because whatever pieces we have now, just stick with it. I mean, like, you don't want to lose RJ Barrett. You don't want to lose Mitchell Robinson. So, like, I don't know. It's just very, very confusing with this Knicks team. It's frustrating. It's confusing.
I think two of the biggest disappointments with the Knicks, obviously Porzingis, who looked like our future for a while, and that just spiraled downhill and was out of control fast. But the other thing was the Frank Ntilikina pick. Like, that's just something that I look back on all the time, and it's just so frustrating. Like, all the like solid pieces we missed out on that would have helped us rebuild, and that was just a mistake of a pick, and I wish they would have went a different direction with that, which even at the time was a questionable move. But I mean, I guess you can't know in the moment, but it's rough looking back on that. Like, RJ Barrett's a good pick. I hope he develops into a good player, but just Ntilikina, Porzingis, just so everything went wrong. Everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Knicks.
I mean, looking back, it's like you look back and like almost like the what could have been, and you know, you're just wondering like what was your front office thinking at that point in time. But but hey, I mean, you know, you guys have RJ Barrett, you know, Julius Randle. Hopefully you guys don't pick another Kevin Knox in the 8th pick again.
Yeah, that's another one. Kevin Knox, too. Mm-hmm. Like, him, Ntilikina, just two disappointing draft picks. I forgot to mention him. Like, just hoping for one successful draft turnout, which it's not looking too good as far as this. Like Sean said, top-heavy draft, but just any piece they can get just as far as rebuilding to get back to where they used to be, you know. with even like even in the Carmelo era of the Knicks where they were at least a playoff contender and they yeah. were a good team. Like just to get back to that would be good for New York.
Yeah, I think, and especially now with Brooklyn kind of coming up, it would just it would have made it so much more interesting and cooler if the Knicks were in it as well, because that just could have been like a great rivalry to go into this season. Mm-hmm. But obviously that won't be the case. But you know, you'll probably steal a game from us. You stole a game from us last year. You know, obviously we'll be at full strength, but you know, we'll see what happens with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and how those two gel. With everything new going on in that organization. But it'll be interesting to see. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will think of a topic or segment to wrap up on, and you'll find out about it when you listen to the fourth segment, only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and our special guest for this week, baseball prospect Jimmy Mulvaney. So in the last three segments, we really kind of just dove into baseball and basketball, kind of, you know, talking about the Justin Turner situation, the NBA starting up in December, and talking about the free agents and the drafts for both leagues. And now what we just thought about to talk about for this segment to kind of wrap up the show is talk about our mid-season Super Bowl predictions. We are now more than halfway into the NFL season, and based on you know, where we are, it's a kind of a perfect time to talk about, you know, who we think at this point can make it to the Super Bowl, as a lot of interesting things have happened so far this season, a lot of injuries and a lot of surprises as well. I'll start off, you know, as of now, I looked at the standings real quick, and my picks to go to the Super Bowl as of now, midway through, are the Steelers and the Buccaneers. I think with what the Steelers have been able to do, be undefeated, or, you know, or by the time you listen to this, they could still have an undefeated record, or they could have their first loss of the season.
They're not going to have their first loss of the season.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they're playing the Cowboys. So, yeah, they will probably be undefeated by the time you're listening to this. But yeah, I just think, look, Big Ben has showed that, you know, he could still play. I think this is his last go-around. So I think he's going to try to do anything he can to get to the Super Bowl. And I think with the Buccaneers, I think Tom Brady and Bruce Arians have figured it out. They're rolling. They got Antonio Brown. You know, Mike Evans is playing well. Chris Godwin, you know, is there. He's got his boy Gronk, you know, and he's got a good back in Jones and Fournette. So it makes all perfect sense that I think the Bucs could make it. So that's my pick, Steelers, Buccaneers. And I don't know who wins. It's a toss-up for me. It could go either way for me. There's no clear favorite.
Okay.
All right, I'll go second here.
Yeah, you go second.
I've got a weird one here. I think it's going to be Bills Seahawks.
Dude, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Bills Seahawks?
Bills Seahawks.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, the Seahawks, we know how dominant of a team they are. They have so much experience, you know, just being a good team, being in the regular season. And then the Bills, I think there's a lot of the AFC from the outside looks pretty good. I think if you dive into it a little deep, though, I think really the only scary teams are like the Chiefs. Yeah. I think the Steelers have a false record. They've played a lot of teams that aren't amazing. I think their only good win so far has been the Ravens. And I honestly have not been impressed with the Ravens this year. So
they beat the Titans.
Yeah, okay. I'm also not impressed with the Titans either, to be honest. So yeah, like I said, a lot of false records in the AFC, in my opinion.
I'll back up you, Sean, because I also think it's going to be Seahawks, Bills. You know, the Bills have found their quarterback. I think, like, they're rolling. They're gonna go on a run. And Russell Wilson, I just don't think he's going to be stopped this year. Like, he's shown how dominant he is with DK Metcalf and Lockett, like, two huge weapons. The run game has been established for them, and you know, my prediction going into the year was Patriots Seahawks. Like, I thought that was going to happen. I was just talking about it with these guys. You know, I thought Cam Newton was going to really break out, have a great year, which it looked like it through the first 3 weeks, which since then has gone downhill and gone downhill fast, and Patriots are not looking like that's going to happen. But, I mean, I'm the same as Sean. I think the Bills are going to make a run, and I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be stopped.
I couldn't. Yeah, I agree with that. And Dom, you're the last one.
All right, you guys remember that one SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob's like the superhero? He's like the fast one. He's like, "You want to see me do it again?"
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to see me run that rocking back?
Yeah. You want to see me do it again? You guys remember Super Bowl 43?
Remind me which one that was.
Steelers Cardinals.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You want to see me do it again? That's happening again. It's going to happen. Now, bear with me here. I know the Cardinals are not taken seriously being at 5-2, and I think the toughest division of the NFC West. Now, I really like Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, you know, fantasy man. But what they're doing is great, but their defense is really bad, and that's what's going to hurt
them. Yeah, that's true.
Really late into the playoffs.
But I feel like everyone's defense is just bad this year. Everyone's lighting it up.
Yeah, and it's like the game has changed to where anything's a flag. Corners can't do anything. You can debate that. But for the Cardinals, I think this is a great experience, especially for Kyler Murray. They're playing in a tough division. They're really starting to learn and click together. They obviously have DeAndre Hopkins on the squad now.
Yeah,
I really like what the Cardinals look like. Their defense isn't that bad. And I think they're a sleeper team right now. I'm going to go with Cardinals-Steelers.
Do you have a winner for that, or can you not decide?
I'd go Steelers, but let's see later into it. It's not like a locked decision yet, but that's my choice for now.
I actually really like that Cardinals pick. I totally forgot about them. Like you said, they're 5-2. They're kind of under the radar right now. But they did have that game with the Seahawks, which was the game of the year at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it went into overtime, and they beat the Seahawks, which, like I said, was my pick. And I don't know. If I had to change it, I don't know. I could definitely see the Cardinals. So I'm kind of between the Seahawks and the Cardinals for the NFC.
So another thing I would just touch on quickly, and we're running out of time, the Chiefs. Like, obviously, they're a big front runner in the AFC, but people are leaving out the Chiefs. Like, I know we all just made our predictions where no one even mentioned them. Like, Mahomes, Kelsey, they got Le'Veon Bell now, Tyreek Hill. There's just so many weapons on that offense. Like, so, like, similar to the Seahawks, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to stop them. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made it there. And I think people are not as much as sleeping on them, but just looking over them like, yeah, they're going to be good, but I think they could be beat. But, I mean, coming from me, I think they are beatable, but when Mahomes is on and he has all his weapons, that's almost a team that's just impossible to beat.
Yeah, I agree. I think when it becomes playoff time, I think they're gonna turn it on, and obviously they can make another run and go back to back. You know, if they can do that, obviously it's a lot harder to do. It's probably the hardest thing to do in football to go back to back than it is in any other sport. So that'll be interesting to see. But this is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Sports Fever. Jimmy, I thank you for coming on and doing the show. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you guys for having me.
You know, if you want to check us out, you know, previous episode, you can follow us, The Sports Fever, on all the podcasting platforms. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram, The Sports_Fever. You can also shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. But this has been this episode. We thank you for tuning in, and we will be back next week with another awesome show, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronc, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.